Hello, everyone, and welcome to the JW Show. I'm your host, Joshua Washington, Director of Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel. And today I have a really great special guest. She's the founder and CEO of Link. They do an incredible work, and we're going to talk about that today. I have Miss Emily Nielsen-Winkler. Emily, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks for being here. So, Emily, can you, for our listeners, let us know where you're from and what you do?
Absolutely. So I'm from Israel, and as you mentioned, Josh, I created a company called Link. And what we do is we create strategic circular solutions for economies in emerging markets. Our core focus is on Africa. It has been for about 6 years. And what we do is we create solutions to problems in water, waste, or agriculture, which are essentially all of your critical infrastructure sectors.
Mm. Wow. And what made you tell us more about that? Why did you found Link? What was the reason for that?
Wow. Okay. So actually, a little bit connected to your side of the world. So my background is in politics. I grew up to be one of, you know, Israel's next protégés in politics. And I was in Washington working with a think tank and was getting involved in the political scene. And the more and more I saw politics, the more and more I realized we've created a world that is very slow and very, very self-destructive. When you would assume that the leaders in positions are supposed to be very empowering and very uplifting.
Right.
And I found that to be quite difficult, especially given someone coming from an Israeli Jewish background. It's very much against our value systems to have that kind of mindset. So when I came back to Israel, I was about 21 then, and I decided if they're not going to do something about these issues, then I'm going to do something about these issues. Wow. And I took a flight to South Africa for the first time in my life, saw lots and lots of different things. And then I started getting more and more into other countries in Africa as I went. And as I was going, it was almost something that was heavy on my heart by saying, looking at different problems that they were having and knowing that back home in Israel, we have the technologies and the solutions to solve them. But somehow they're not getting down to where they need to go. And so I felt a huge responsibility to start doing that. So it actually didn't start as a company. It started as a hobby.
Right.
And with just dozens of requests a day were coming in from the networks that that I made in Africa. And people would just say, you know, Israel has this technology in water. Can you get me a connection? They have this technology in agriculture. Can you get me a connection? And eventually it became so much of my time that I decided, well, I better make a company or else I'm going to go bankrupt doing
Wow. And can you tell me, you said that we can, the way that, that some of us do politics can be self-destructive. What kind of things have you seen before you founded Link that, that would obstruct that the kind of help that you're giving now? Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of bureaucracy left in the world when it comes to these types of big infrastructure projects. And I think that one of the most daunting things that I've seen is democracy, for the good or the bad, has created a boxed system. And when I say boxed system, I kind of mean politicians and decision makers, you know, everyone from the judicial system to the legislative systems, they're given very clear boxes, very clear guidelines of what they can and cannot do. And those guidelines haven't adapted over time. They also haven't adapted to humanitarian crises that have happened over time. Still today, we deal with humanitarian crises kind of ad hoc. And the problem is when something isn't actually defined all the way into a state of emergency, but yet, you know, millions of people in Africa still don't have running water or electricity, you know, where are we defining what's a crisis, what's not? And so what are you dealing with inside your box? And I think that we've reached the point where most ministers that, that we've had to deal with, they kind of look at their box and they're very comfortable to say, oh, okay, but I'm the minister of water and you're actually talking about something that could be defined as irrigation. And so that might be agriculture. So it's not my address. And then the next minister of agriculture was like, no, this is pretty much water. You need to speak to him. And then you get caught in this very bureaucratic system. And so that might not sound too bad when you talk about water, but if I told you that I've sat in meetings myself where ministers and deputy ministers of health have said, oh no, well, we can't implement this technology. It'll save too many lives and we don't have that kind of budget to cover healthcare. Then you start really understanding the depths of how bad politics runs into the well-being of our day-to-day lives.
Sheesh. My goodness. Wow. So that's, I'm really appreciative of what you guys do, and I want to ask you some more about it too. You said, or when I looked on your website, which link-il.com, I went on there and I was looking through a ton of stuff. I mean, I love the work that you all do. And one of the quotes you have is something that I've always said about particularly with the work that Israel does in Africa, but for you guys, it's perfect too. It's that if you give a man a fish, you'll feed him for a day. But if you teach a man to fish, you'll feed him for a lifetime. And that mm-hmm. I think is so, it does encapsulate what you guys do so well. I want to ask you, how, particularly in Africa, since you founded Link, and I think that was 2014, how have you mm-hmm. seen that? How have you seen the evidence of that, them learning how to fish?
Well, I think that that's kind of what brings us back to the office every day, actually. Yes, that quote is on our website. It's actually on the front page of our company profile, because that's the value that the company's founded on, is that human beings, especially those that have been through a bit in their past. And I think that that's something that that Israelis, especially, you know, Jews, share with Africans. You know, a lot of people don't notice that, but we're two human groups alive today that have suffered through massive waves of slavery and persecution.
Right, right.
And I think that, you know, the media likes to try to tear us apart, but I think when you really get down to it, I recognize a mentality in a lot of the young African entrepreneurs and leaders that they're just waiting to burst through, and it's almost like they're waiting for somebody's approval. Whenever, you know, when I started in Africa, and our first office was in South Africa, it took me another 2 years to open in Ghana. But the first thing I always do in these countries is I start bringing to Israel delegations of young leaders, whether it be a business, politics, or media. And I learn from them, because I think that young people have the key to understanding not only the culture of a place, but the potential of a place.
Right, right.
And I always tell them the key thing that the Jews run off of, especially when it comes to the issues of Israel. You know, being a slave or being a victim, it's a circumstance of reality. But acting like a victim is a choice.
Right.
And that's what we want to get across to them, is that all of the technology and all of the service, all the solutions that Israel's created, you know, the modern state has not been in existence very long. We were able to turn our destiny around because we hold the control of our destiny. That's a choice. And they have the same choice. They can learn and thrive off of these technologies, and they can push forward themselves and do amazing projects for their own people, for their own land, and succeed and thrive. They don't need to wait for politics to give them a grant or an approval to do that. And I think that that's really the joy of what we do, because we're teaching them kind of a different way while doing it with them together, side by side.
On that front too, you said being a victim is a choice. Have you experienced any difficulty or pushback on that front? Has there been challenges that you guys have faced where maybe physically, you know, you're able to make some big change, but maybe mentally there's still blockage there? Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, anyone who has, you know, has been victimized in their past could understand that sentence. It's always there. You know, it's kind of like I explained it to them. It's like our water projects. Yeah, I can come in and I can fix a system so that it can be running beautifully, but it doesn't mean it doesn't still have some holes in it, and it's not going to hurt every now and then.
Right, right.
You know, on the contrary, sometimes it'll be, you know, put under more pressure, and it needs to hold up to more, and it has to be more sustainable. You learn how to flex those mental muscles as you go. But I think that just kind of by default, one of the things that really helps the Link alumni stay together in these projects is we've kind of created a network of businessmen in each of these countries that we work in, because these young men and women, first and foremost, also get to experience a lot together if they come on the trips to Israel and then see all these technologies. They brainstorm together how they can use these technologies to empower their country. And they go back and they do that together. And it's always easier to deal with that mental block when it's in a group and not individually.
Right, right. Absolutely. And so tell me, and while we're talking about that as well, if you have one, or maybe too hard a question right now, but what is your favorite success story?
Jeez, that's a tough one. Let's see here. Well, okay, so my biggest success in the company is so all of my financial advisors won't like that I say this, but I think that the biggest success of the company is actually our reputation. Mm. We've given up a lot of big deals in the past to maintain a very honest and loyal reputation to our cause, to our projects, to our industries. And I love the fact that I'm leading a company that people know that they can trust. There's just no question about it.
Right.
It creates a family instead of just kind of a, you know, service supplier and client relationship.
Right.
And I find that to be very, very special. Mm. But if I say project wise, I'm kind of a sucker for what we call the circular economy.
Okay.
And so if you went through the site, you probably saw a lot of stuff regarding circular solutions and circular economy.
Right. Right.
And so I would actually say that the company's biggest success so far has been able to implement in each industry that we have a solution that is completely circular and has led to the ability for, we now are able to enable communities to be completely sustainable and self and circular, which essentially that means using our solutions, a city could could supply its water, treat its wastewater, send that to irrigation, so it's treating its agriculture,
right.
Collect all of its waste, turn its waste into energy, and then that energy supplies energy to that whole system that I just defined and additional to the community. So it's a complete circle of critical infrastructure. And we kind of call it our masterpiece. And so I think that's our biggest accomplishment so far.
Wow. That's incredible. That is amazing. We're going to take a short break. Emily, thank you again. Y'all don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the JW Show. Again, I'm here with Emily Nielsen Winkler. Thanks again, Emily, for being here with us.
My pleasure.
So, Emily, I learned that you recently opened an office here in the U.S. And I want to ask, after all these years of working in mostly in the continent of Africa, why come over here to the U.S.?
Yeah, we did. Also, a really good question. So we've spent the past 6 years only in Africa, and I will be honest with you, if you would have asked me a year ago, I would have told you that I have no plans in opening up an office in the United States,
right.
Even though I was originally born there. I moved to Israel at a young age, so I do even have a connection to the United States.
Wow.
But my initial understanding was that, you know, I work in empowering critical infrastructure projects in emerging markets, and you don't view the United States an emerging market.
Right.
However, you know, following your last question on the circular economy and the circular solutions, if once we created that solution that literally a city can sustain itself, all of a sudden we started getting a lot of interest from all over the world, not only the United States, but we also opened up an office in Eastern Europe this year.
Wow.
Everyone's kind of begging for a way to sustain ourselves when it comes to our basic resources, because really, we've just mismanaged all of them as human beings in the world for so long.
Right.
And yeah, we actually have some really exciting stuff coming to the United States. It's all kind of in the building process now, but come January 2020, we're actually going to be going live with one of our big water projects.
Wow.
And it may be astonishing to hear. I don't know how, you know, the un-American crowd will take it, but you guys actually have a really big water problem
yeah.
that most people aren't aware of.
Right.
And that is the amount of water that you guys actually lose
yeah.
in the pipes under your grounds between the time that the supplier sends it and the time it gets to your house.
Oh, wow.
Huh. Yeah, it's something called NRW. I would always recommend that, you know, future people or they want to get involved in the environment issues, learn about it. It's called yeah. non-revenue water.
Huh.
And
so explain that again. So how does that work? How do we lose that much water? How does that work?
Yeah, so I'll give you kind of like a 60-second overview of NRW. So in essence, it's relatively simple if I explain it in the sense that the supplier supplies you water. So everyone has a water supply, right? You pay a water bill.
Right.
You pay for what you consume. But mm-hmm. on the way to you, let's just say that, you know, that you consume 75 gallons a day. Okay, let's just say that. If the water supplier's infrastructure isn't fixed, isn't running properly, it has a lot of leaks along the way. And it could leak, let's just say, 25 gallons on the way.
Oh, wow.
And so that actually means that he's, you know, he's leaking 25% of what he's supplying to you.
Mm.
Now, in the end, every utility deals with that differently. And most of the time, the American citizens end up paying for that, right? Because what they'll do is they'll just add another 2 cents, 3 cents, 5 cents to your bill, and you'll never notice.
Right.
But technically, they've been doing that for 30 years, and now it's too much is too much.
Right.
And
right.
now they're trying to hide how much water they're losing, and now it's become the point where no one knows how to deal with it. But that's not really true. Israel learned how to deal with it a long time ago because we don't have any water to spare.
Right.
And so we had to figure out how to deal with it. So now we're actually going to be coming to the United States and implementing full-scale repair plans for all the utilities that are interested in repairing their leakage system and reducing the water stress on their systems in the supply process.
That's incredible.
Which will bring down their operation costs, and it'll also, and more importantly, save a lot of water for you guys.
Right. My goodness. Well, that's incredible. And I think the people would love that. And again, it's just another way to show that how Israel and how Link is concerned about actually fixing problems and providing viable solutions. That's awesome. That's awesome, Emily. I want to ask you, going back to Africa, I know that you said that you for the first 6 years you pretty much operated solely in Africa. What do you envision for Africa because of this work? Like, what is your desire? What do you want to see happen for Africa, big picture, like in the next few years?
I would say that in the next 10 to 20 years, we're going to see a massive breakout of young leadership in Africa.
Mm.
If anyone ever had the opportunity to spend some time in different African countries, no matter, you know, whether you're in the South, East, West, what will always happen is if you can dedicate 1 week to sit inside of a country, doesn't matter where, what I can guarantee you is that you will find at least one young, super impressive, just really kind of mouth-dropping, charismatic potential leader. And I find that inspiring, and I think that that's something that is really underrated, because these people are so passionate about their countries, about their future. They know their history, they know where they come from, but they also know the potential of hard work and the ability to move an entire nation forward. I think that there's nothing that's going to stop that from really seeing that in the next 10 to 20 years as political parties are turning over to the more younger side, and that braveness is coming up to the plate.
Right. And do you see this being, so you said you also were pretty heavily into politics, and I'm sure, are you still now? Is that something you still like to do now, or are you, is this more like what you do?
I really try to stay away from politics. You know, in Israel, it's almost inevitable, especially because we have elections like every month now.
Right.
But we have elections again next week, and, you know, everyone's talking about politics.
Right.
I have a golden rule of thumb. It's very easy.
Yeah.
If it helps me,
yeah,
then I'll stick with it. If they're in my way, I'll push them aside.
Absolutely. I like that. I like that. Well, I do want to ask you, do you see the work that you all are doing as being good for overall for Israel-Africa relations? Is that something you see?
I would like to think that it will be. Yeah. You know, I think, again, you know, we're a private company. We're a small company, but we're based on a lot of values that you know, fortunately, my parents gave me growing up as a Jew, as a Zionist, and as someone who, you know, I'm not fully religious, but fully believes in the messages of the Book of Isaiah. We have a responsibility to share with the world what God gave us. And what God gave us was a unique ability to create solutions to very difficult problems, mainly for survival.
Right.
And I find a huge personal responsibility to be able to do that. I love that we're able to do it in a way where I can provide salaries for my team in Israel and in all the countries we work in.
Right.
And I think that, you know, you never know what comes in the future, but I always hope that I serve as some sort of an actual link between my nation and other nations that work with us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we appreciate the work that you do too, Emily. Emily, I want to first of all just say thank you again for coming and just sharing with us. I think more people need to know what you all do, what Link is, and how they can keep up with you all. Is there a way that we can help, or a way that maybe we can give, or is there something we can do to help you guys continue to function?
Well, we're always interested in looking for new people to join our network. Anyone's welcome to register for our newsletter on our website that you mentioned, awesome. link-il.com. Nice. And every now and then we do send out notifications of either charity projects we're doing, humanitarian work that needs attention in markets that we come across, and even more so to maybe even take part in some of our delegations. We do the delegations at cost. So, you know, you cover the expenses to join, and you join an amazing family of businessmen and women from around the world. It's quite special. And so we're always looking for new people to come and join our family.
Awesome. So you guys, that's link-il.com. Please check it out and look up what the amazing work that they're doing and be a part of it. It's incredible work. Emily, thank you so much again for being a part of this. We wish you all the best, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Great. Well, thank you, Josh. It was a pleasure.
Yeah. All right. You have a good day.
You too.
Thank you all for listening to the JW Show. Once again, I'm your host, Joshua Washington, and I'm signing off.